excited you're all jumping on with us today. You know, I keep my eye on everything related to Plano. Many of you guys know I gave Plano police quite the beating, media beating, I should say, when I had an incident back in July. And as many of you guys know, because I talk about it quite often, it resulted in a man who had followed me into my building. And the only reason why he left was because he's a stranger again, was when I pulled a gun on him. And he did leave then. But Plano PD, and I just got this message from a credible reporter, Logan Washburn over at the Dallas Express, but he just messaged me to let me know that Plano PD put up a social media post right now on Facebook, and they're trying to bring awareness to stalking, saying that it's not acceptable under any condition. It's just really funny given the fact that like I had to threaten to sue Plano PD to get them to give me the footage, to get them to go after the guy who followed me into my home. I just posted a little bit of it. Obviously, you see it here, but the post itself, and I could read it to you, says stalking is not flattering or annoying. It's a crime in Texas. Well, for them, they don't actually think it's a crime because they told me that it was just flirting when they watched that video of a man following me to my apartment complex. So I just thought it was pretty funny. If this happens to you, it's not your fault. Trust your instincts. Well, my instincts told me to pull a gun, and then when I did just that, Plano PD actually called me and said, we don't want you to escalate an issue by pulling a firearm. So just another reminder that Plano PD, an absolute disgrace of a police department. I actually was walking my dogs, and there was a bit of a back and forth and a protest between some Muslims and a Christian group that was just there to confront them in Plano, Texas. And when I saw Plano PD pull up, they sent like literally six cops over there to break up the protest. But long story short, when I saw that the Plano PD got there, I was just on the sidelines watching. But then at that point, I had to inject myself. So I got over there, went over there and got in between it, and then decided to just shout it out in front of Plano PD. What an awful job they've done. They're really just a horrible police department, and they pretend to care, but they don't authentically care. But thankfully, we have a good prosecutor in Collin County who does take these things seriously, and they are charging the man. But I thought you'd all get a good laugh at that. All right, we're standing by. President Trump is expected to speak in just a few moments, and we will bring that to you once that begins. But like I said, Mark Lucas is going to be joining the show in a moment as well. And he's got a big victory that he wants to celebrate on the program today because he's been pushing for legislation to make the lives of our vets a little bit easier. And a group of Republicans just picked it up and pushed it forward yesterday, which we're very excited to announce. So we will bring that to you. I've also got my eyes on several really important stories that we're going to break down to you on the show, like one person who's now banned from the UK. That is insane. Oh, I also want to do a little Ben Crump acknowledgement. Ben Crump is trying to spin a shooting of an off-duty ICE officer who shot and killed a man. Now, Ben Crump wants you to believe this was just a father who loved his family, who was gunned down by ICE. Well, shocker, that's not the case. We'll bring you the details on all of that. And we're not going to spin it for you. This man was not a hero. In fact, if you or I were to shoot an AK into the air, guess what? We'd probably end up dead too. Especially if you're ignoring police when they're telling you or law enforcement to drop your weapon. Yeah, things happen when you play stupid games. So we'll play that clip for you, of course, because you got to know what's going on over on the left side of things, the spin. Also, there's another 2A victory, which we look forward to telling you about in just a moment as well. So buckle up, more to discuss in a second. In the meantime, head on over to alexjonesstore.com. Again, a couple more hours left to get a free hat with every purchase, no minimum required. And then there's only a day left, last day, to get 50 times the entries for every dollar you spend over at alexjonesstore.com. You could possibly win the F-250 Ford Raptor and the black Ford F-250 plus $20,000 in cash over at alexjonesstore.com. Put some money into your pocket. You support us, we support you, with a shot at winning potentially 20 grand over at alexjonesstore.com. Also, if you haven't downloaded the app, make sure you do so, alexjonesapp.com, right now.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. Just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here for the second hour of the program. All right, President Trump obviously is trying his best to save those in Iran right now. We're taking to the streets to protest the regime, and it's been absolutely devastating. We've been hearing mixed reports regarding how many have been killed. And obviously one is one too many, but we're hearing numbers in the hundreds. We're also hearing numbers in the thousands. And it's very hard to get an exact number. But the reality of it is they have scheduled hundreds of people to be executed for just disrespecting Allah. I mean, that's literally what they're doing. And President Trump warned them. He gave a very stern warning. If they do go out there and execute the list of protesters that they were planning on hanging, that his administration will take action. Well, when you're not a coward and you speak from a place of power, you get some action. And according to the White House, Iran now is saying that they're not going to be executing about 800 people. They've actually halted those executions. Take a listen to clip 11.
And the president received a message, as he revealed to all of you and the whole world yesterday, that the killing and the executions will stop. And the president understands today that 800 executions that were scheduled and supposed to take place yesterday were halted. And so the president and his team are closely monitoring this situation, and all options remain on the table for the president.
That's good news. Very good news. Now, we're all just kind of sitting around seeing what's going to happen next. But obviously, if this is true, then this is a great step forward. Joining me to discuss is Mark Lucas. He has incredible news for us in just a few moments. We're going to get to this first. He's the founder of Veteran Action, and he fights for our vets. And, you know, Mark, when I saw this story, I was excited because we keep hearing these stories about these young people who are being arrested, they're being detained, and they're being potentially executed. They were set to be executed. I know there was one young man whose face has been plastered all over the internet because his family only got 10 minutes to say goodbye to him. And it sounds like he might still be alive, although they have not presented any proof that he is still alive. We are at least hopeful. But what do you make of this? Because obviously President Trump came out and said if he finds out that anyone is executed, he's going to be going after them. There are mixed reports coming out that some people have been killed, obviously. But now all of these 800 people so far who are set to be executed, their executions have been halted. What do you make of it?
I see a president here with President Trump that actually commands respect on the global stage. You know, President Joe Biden, nobody respected him. People running all over America. But President Trump believes in peace through strength. And that first Iran strike and now the arrest of Maduro shows people around the world that when President Trump says something, he means it. And President Trump does not want to go to war with Iran. I want to remind people, particularly in the conservative movement that have been, I guess, just upset maybe by some of the foreign policy moves by President Trump. I want to remind them that President Trump back in 2016, when he was a candidate for president, called Iraq a big, fat mistake. That message resonated with me and veterans all across the country. So President Trump is a negotiator in chief. We see that he will always try to pursue peace, but there is a line that he will make a decision and say, hey, I'm willing to take action. And we just haven't seen that with people like Barack Obama or Joe Biden. People didn't respect them. And I don't believe in these arbitrary red lines. The failed foreign policy establishment tries to use red lines to box in presidents to really try to engage in their foreign policy objectives. But we've seen that President Trump is deliberately unpredictable. And he uses that to America's advantage. So I'm praying for the people in Iran, but I also understand that American veterans, we would most we would more prefer to defend Minneapolis than Tehran. You know, we have a lot of work to do here in the United States to continue to secure our border, to secure our cities. And you mentioned earlier in Plano, Texas, we have Islam that's infiltrating the United States of America. So I think it's good to have a president who is respected on the world stage. I think Iran should tread carefully, but we also have a lot of priorities here at home.
Yeah, and I think that needs to be the focus, too. I think a lot of Americans are getting really frustrated with the president because he's focused on foreign policies. And although he's done great things here on the mainland, I will say that we are seeing a lot of foreign focus. And I think people are a little bothered by that. But I also want to drive home the point that you just brought up. You know, when we look at what's going on in Minneapolis, I think a lot of Americans are really angry because, you know, they're seeing a lot of threats being made, but we're watching as these left-wing terrorists. I mean, there's no other way to look at it when they're setting these cars on fire, when they're vandalizing cars, and they're trying to intimidate law enforcement who are just simply trying to step in and sweep away all of these predators that have been brought into our country, these violent criminals. I mean, the reality is, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but I receive updates daily from DHS as to who they've picked up in regards to these ICE raids. And they are constantly, every day, and they are, and I know it's not me over-exaggerating this, they're getting rapists, predators, child predators, and murderers off of our streets. And the reality of it is the rest of us support what they're doing because we know that it's actually work that's meant to keep the people safe in this country, residents, citizens safe. But then we see that they're getting away with this. These left-wing terrorists are taking to the street. They're intimidating law enforcement. You know, the president is threatening to implement, obviously, the Insurrection Act. Do you think it's long overdue? Should we start, you know, going about that? Or do you think we should hold back and wait a little bit because you don't want to see the federal government stepping in on that?
I 100% support instituting the Insurrection Act. You know, Governor Tim Walz came out earlier this week encouraging President Trump to turn down the temperature. Well, that's gaslighting. Governor Walz is a stolen valor coward. He abandoned his unit in the Minnesota National Guard before they went over to Afghanistan. He was a sergeant major who also claimed to have carried a weapon in battle. Walz is a coward, and we will break the backs of these protesters and these people who are breaking the law and bringing this violence and terror to Minneapolis. So I encourage President Trump to move forward with instituting the Insurrection Act. I'd love to see him deploy Ranger Regiment and Delta operators, you know, those same units that suffered in Mogadishu during Black Hawk Down. I'd love them to be able to go in there and clean up those streets.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that we do just that because we don't want to see, and this is what they're intentionally doing over there in Minneapolis and Minnesota right now. They are trying their best to turn this into the 2020 BLM riots, and they were able to get away with it when they spun the whole George Floyd narrative. I mean, we saw an ICE agent. They almost tried to kill him the other day, the three individuals who decided to hit him over the head with a shovel. I mean, the fact that two people came out of their home to defend an illegal is insane, but the fact that they're all bold enough to sit there and assault a federal agent is crazy. But as soon as that story came out that one of them was shot in the leg, the media was spinning it. They were pushing it out there. And it's enraging, Mark. It really is enraging. And I feel for these federal agents when it comes to just trying to implement the law, trying to carry out the law and trying to do it as peaceful as possible. I mean, they can't because, again, Democrats are continuing to incite their own and it needs to be addressed. But we've got a big victory, and I want you to talk about this because I know you work very hard, very, very hard over at Veteran Action to make the lives of our vets a little bit easier, to make sure that all the resources they need are given out. And I saw that a group of GOP senators have recently pushed forward, including obviously Senator Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn, a piece of legislation that you've been pushing for. Tell us a little bit about it.
I want to personally thank Senator Marsha Blackburn and also Congresswoman Marionette Miller-Meeks for introducing the Veterans Bill of Rights Act of 2026. This is such an important piece of legislation to protect the rights of veterans that we earned. You know, we've seen over the last few years that Joe Biden has been undermining the victories that President Trump had for veterans. President Trump passed the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act of 2017, and he also passed the Mission Act, which would give veterans choice in their health care. And the reason why the Veterans Bill of Rights is so important is that veterans are being lied to about the rights that they have earned. You have VA bureaucrats who are trying to keep veterans stuck in a failed bureaucracy when they have the right to go outside and access healthcare in their communities. So these Bill of Rights, when passed, will be published all across VA facilities. You'll be required by law for VA officials to communicate the rights that veterans have. And if you look at the sponsors of this bill, you've got Marsha Blackburn in the state of Tennessee with a heavy veteran population. You got former Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy up in Montana. You also have Tom Tillis in North Carolina, the home of Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune, and Tommy Tuberville down in Alabama. The Senate sponsors are very serious champions for veterans. They understand this issue. And then Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks, she represents me here in Iowa. She served over 25 years in the Army. She's a medical doctor. She understands the reforms that we need to bring to the VA. So this is an important first step, and I look forward to getting this passed and having President Trump sign this bill.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on this, but this is a great one, and we're really excited for it. You know, when you spoke with the senator, obviously, to push this forward, does she think this has the votes to be able to be pushed through legislatively and to make this law?
Well, my group, Veteran Action, is going to make sure they do have the votes, because we have the Veteran Action Center, where people can go to veteranaction.org, click on the Take Action button, and they can contact lawmakers via phone call, email, and they can post on social media, encouraging them and demanding them really to pass the Veterans Bill of Rights. It's the same platform I use to help confirm Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War. Is a proven platform, and we're going to really go to work on behalf of Senator Blackburn and Marionette Miller Meeks to get this across the finish line.
Well, Mark, we look forward to following it, of course, and having you back on when it goes through. And you're doing a great job over at Veteran Action. So we appreciate you fighting for our vets, of course. So, Mark, thank you as always. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we are, you know, trying to cover some positive things. This is a positive story. You know, Sonia Lobosco got a bunch of positive news from her, as well as Mark Lucas. And I'm told also, by the way, that the FBI is going to be giving me a statement in regards to the story that we gave you just a few minutes ago about the new deputy director. They might be disputing a little bit of the claims. Again, I went through his LinkedIn page. It seemed to have matched up. But, you know, I always reach out for comment. We'll be fair and balanced. When the FBI does give us a statement back, I will bring that to you. And I'll give you the full comment, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. But let's talk about other things. Let's keep it on this ICE topic. I want to get to what we've seen unravel over these last few days. Now, I think Twitter might be actually down right now. Kind of looks like it's down, but I think we should be good on everything else, though. Folks, do we control room? Do we have the VOs and everything? So if I start pulling, okay, cool. So because I want to get to this, because Julio Rojas released this video yesterday on X. And it's like this crazy woman. Her name is Jennifer Cruz. And she's being accused of harassing ICE agents. That's what she's currently accused of. I don't know if she did anything. But just based off this video, she doesn't seem like a very friendly woman. Oh, nope. Yeah, that might be assault. That might be assault. Get her, boys. That is an upper body workout for that gentleman. So they're trying to pull her into the vehicle, obviously. According to the Florida AG, he says that this is Jennifer Cruz of Jacksonville, Florida. Jennifer disagrees with ICE enforcement and the immigration enforcement and decided to commit a few felonies by getting out of her car, punching a trooper in the face. Those are the allegations he's making. But then he says, you know, but unlike Minnesota, we don't put up with that crap. Not today, Jennifer. Not today. So she's been apprehended, charged. That is a serious upper body workout. Credit for him, man. You can't have these guys here who can't bench. I mean, that's got to be at least $100. And she is smirking. She is smiling, kicking the camera. What an animal. Jennifer Cruz, I hope you get the help that you desperately, desperately need, of course. All right, folks, President Trump is speaking right now. I wanted to take us there because I think we might hear a couple of important things. The president right now is speaking at a rural healthcare roundtable. Take a listen.
American history. This is the big one. We're delighted to be joined by many incredible members of the healthcare community, including doctors, nurses, and pharmacists from all across America. We're also very happy to have with us some very talented people. A man who is really good at this, extremely non-controversial, which is, I wanted somebody non-controversial. So I chose Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. to head the whole shebang up.
The best.
And he's also happens to be a great guy. Brooke Rollins, who's doing a fantastic job at agriculture, and thank you. And how are the prices coming?
They're coming down.
Don't forget, we inherited a mess.
Sure did.
Remember eggs? They were up 4 times higher than they ever were. And in my first day, they said, what are you going to do about eggs? I said, I didn't cause the problem. We inherited a mess, but the prices are coming down.
Yes, sir. Wholesale prices are down 86%. Retail a little bit less than that. But yes, you're making America good. Affordable again.
With you in charge, I have no doubt, and yes, I appreciate sir. It. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a really good man, a really brilliant guy. Dr. Mehmet Oz. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Oz. And thank you also to Governor Jim Pillen, Senator Dan Sullivan, and Representatives Rob Bresnahan, Mike Lawler, John McGuire, and Nick Begich. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it very much. Now, we have other congressmen here, I see, and a couple of senators, and we appreciate everybody being here. Everyone wants to be a part of this. It's so important. It's maybe, I don't know, for many people, there's nothing more important. I would say maybe defense. You know, we need defense, and we need offense, too, by the way. As part of the Great Big Beautiful Bill, we're increased, and we have increased funding for the health care by an unprecedented $50 billion. Dollars. That's rural health care. Nobody thought that was going to happen, and we got it done. So we have rural health care. For those that were trying to make a case that we weren't taking care of the rural community, I'm all about the rural community. We won the rural communities by numbers that nobody's ever won them before, and we're taking care of those great people. So we already did this. We increased funding for rural health care by an unprecedented, record-setting $50 billion over 5 years, which will benefit Americans in all 50 states. And this made possible and was made possible by cutting massive waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicaid and reinvesting those funds to revitalize hospitals and our cherished rural communities and hospitals in rural communities. And I want to say, with all of the fraud that we're seeing in Minnesota and California and other places, I actually think that if we do an unbelievable job, you could almost balance your budget, Kevin. If you take a look at the kind of numbers you're talking about, nobody ever saw anything like it. They're all corrupt politicians, from the governor of Minnesota to the governor of California to everybody. They're just corrupt politicians. And you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud, waste fraud and abuse. But in fraud, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Under the Unaffordable Care Act, which is Obamacare, it's called the Unaffordable. It is unaffordable. Remember that. Rural hospitals and communities were devastated by soaring costs, and that continues. Despite colossal increases in government spending since Obamacare was passed, only 7% of the annual Medicaid spending on rural hospitals has gone to hospitals. So there's only a very little. They didn't care. Obama didn't care about the rural community, to be totally blunt. What he did care about is insurance companies. And this was a bill to make insurance companies wealthy. And they did. They made insurance companies very wealthy. I would say they don't like me too much, because they spent hundreds of billions of dollars. And we're going to have that money spent to the people and given to the people. Not we're going to circumvent the insurance companies. Partially as a result, rural health care facilities have suffered from low occupancy rates, workforce shortages, and failing programs that put Band-Aids over the problems in those communities. And we're not going to have that. We're taking great care of them. With the Rural Health Transformation Program, we are getting rural communities the health support they need, and we're getting it immediately. These funds will go to empowering rural hospitals, strengthening their workforce, modernizing facilities and technology, and ensuring that rural Americans get world-class health care in their own community, right smack in their own community, like they've never had it before. And they've been hurt very badly by the Unaffordable Care Act. Every single Democrat in Congress voted against the Lifeline for Rural Communities. And I hope everyone knows this, and this is not about elections, but I hope you remember this in the midterms, because the Democrats are just so horrible toward the rural community. But I want to take a moment to thank the incredible House and Senate Republicans who worked so hard on making this historic investment possible. That's what they did. And they did work hard. We, I don't think, got a Democrat vote, did we? Did we get one Democrat vote? We got all Republican votes. It was an amazing, feat. And I want to thank Mike, our Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and John Thune for really doing a great job. It was tough. You know, we have small majorities. And I want to thank the congressmen that are here for doing, in particular, for working so hard and getting this done. Yesterday, I also announced our framework to lower health care prices for all Americans, including those in rural America. And we're calling it the Great Health Care Plan. You know, we had to come up with a name, and everybody wanted to say, oh, well, can we put something about lowering costs? Because we're lowering costs very substantially. So I had Bobby and I had Oz. We had everybody in there. We had a whole group of people and were trying to come up with. So we're saying the cost reduction plan that gives you good health care. And I said, it's too long. It's not going to sell. I said, we had more plans. And they wanted to get the words cost reduction in there, Lawler, especially you. They wanted cost reduction in, and then they wanted great health care in. I said, look, you can have one or the other, but it gets too long. We're talking about the name of a plan. So we got it down to seven or eight words, and which is far too long. Nobody can remember that much. And I said, how about just call it, because this is the great health care plan. Now, a great plan has to be cost effective. Otherwise, it can't be a great plan. That's the way I looked at it. So we have a very glamorous name. It's called the Great Health Care Plan, not the Unaffordable Care Act. I don't like that name. This is called officially the Great Health Care Plan. That means low price and great health care. So you're going to have, at a lower price, great health care. First, our proposal codifies the massive discounts on prescription drugs that my administration is achieving through our most favored nation provisions. Okay, we can go into this. We can go into this for hours, but the bottom line is we'll be paying the lowest price of any nation in the world. Whoever's paying the lowest, we match it. This could have been done years ago. I was going to do it in my first administration. So, but when COVID came toward the end, I said, I can't believe it wasn't the right. It wasn't exactly a good time to be doing it. But I said, why isn't
this, folks? Because we'll bring it to you if something important does take place. We'll got to keep our eye on it. But of course, the president's speaking right now. And obviously a lot happening there. All right. So we are going to be on the ground in just a few moments in Minneapolis. Obviously, we got Wed Lyman there from Border Hawk. He's going to bring the very latest. He's been getting tear gas with all these protesters because he's so, I guess you could say, embedded at this point. I mean, he's on the ground, he's doing the reporting, and he's doing an incredible job. So we want to make sure that we bring you the very latest in regards to that. Plus, the FBI is responding to my report I broke to you just a few moments ago on Sonia Labasco in regards to their new deputy director. I'll bring you those details in a moment. So buckle up, we got more to discuss. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you make a purchase over there, you're going to get a free hat. No minimum required. A couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you do just that.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing. But the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it.
So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to. And I'm not a doctor. This is not a medical claim. But people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is. But it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you are joining us. All right, the FBI has a new deputy director, Christopher Wray. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Christopher Wray is the individual now running the second highest, running the FBI right now. Now, there was a lot of controversy about this individual because he came from the New York field office. He has since been promoted. And a lot of people were circulating things on X yesterday in regards to his work background. Now, he did previously work over at the Houston field office. Now, the Houston field office, like I said earlier in the show, was the office going after a woman named Christine Crowder. Now, the FBI has since, through FBI Director Kash Patel, called out that investigation into Crowder because she was wrongfully targeted, even though she wasn't even at the Capitol on January 6th. But over 2 years of an investigation looking into her, they suddenly realized, oh, crap, we've got the wrong photo. So again, this woman was added to a terror watch list. It's a big story, considering the fact they had no evidence connecting this woman to the Capitol riots that you saw, or the Capitol events that you saw that day. Sorry, riots was very corporate media of me to say. But interesting enough, as many of you guys heard with Sonia Labosco, we broke down that report, and I did reach out to the FBI for comment. The FBI, not the most friendliest agency when I reach out for comment, did give us this statement back, claiming that the new deputy director had no involvement in Crowder's investigation. And then when I asked them specifically in regards to how many of the employees, the FBI agents that were involved in Crowder's case, how many of them have been fired? I didn't ask for names, just wanted a number. They told me, we have no additional information, no additional comment. So they're going to give me. So the FBI, not very friendly,
not very friendly, as one would assume. But again, this is really no surprise there. All right, let's take you to Minneapolis right now, because with Lyman, he is one of the incredible reporters over at Border Hawk. He's on the ground, and he's trying his very best to cover the far left-wing terrorists that are taken to the streets. And, you know, Wid, it's exciting to have you on the show. I know normally you've got the cushy job of being over at the White House, but they've seemed to send you over to Minneapolis right now. And I know you've been hit with some tear gas because these protesters seem to get a little crazy over there. So break down what you're seeing on the ground in Minneapolis right now.
Brianna, it's good to be with you. I must have offended someone. It's 20 degrees and starting to snow now. We're outside of the federal building. This is the Whipple building. This is where DHS and ICE are sort of housed, where they conduct most of their operations. They leave this building and go out into the community here in the Twin Cities and conduct their enforcement operations. We're hearing that there's thousands of agents on the ground now, one of the largest DHS operations in U.S. history. And we've been here, you know, about 24 hours now, but protests have gone on at this building for over a week. So we're seeing groups of hundreds, if not close to 1,000 protesters outside. They are attacking vehicles. They are semi-storming the entrance up front. They're blocking roads and causing multiple kinds of mayhem pretty much all day long yesterday. We were out here a good 12 hours and they were busy the entire time. However, a little quiet this morning. They must have slept in.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a rough one. I'm sitting back and I'm watching you as you're filming all the tear gas that's being dropped on these folks. So, you know, when we look at the corporate media coverage and all of this, they tell us that these are really peaceful protests. What are you seeing though on the ground?
It's always a mixed bag. You know, I would say a good 2/3 of people just stand here and yell obscenities. And then a good 1/3 of them are conducting, you know, unlawful activities. They're opening federal agents' doors as they're exiting and leaving. They're throwing bottles and objects at riot police and other federal officials that are there. They are stopping traffic. I mean, last night, one of the more jarring things. So this is the main entrance right here. Mm-hmm. And then in this direction is a side road. And they were stopping everyone, asking if they were Nazis, if they were ICE, and blocking them if they deemed that you were a federal agent. And last night it got very harrowing. About 20 of them descended on one van, and one of the agents inside the vehicle actually drew his service weapon and brandished it at the protesters. So, you know, that is not a peaceful situation to me. It could have been very violent, very bad. And it was.
Yeah. Well, we actually saw that footage too. We have it up on the screen right now. I believe Fox grabbed this one, or at least was able to get it. And it's concerning that he had to do this. But I mean, we all know why he had to do this. And there's no reason for these protesters to be gathering outside of a federal agent's vehicle like that. They're trying to intimidate. They're trying to push back. When you talk to these protesters, though, are they educated in regards to what actually took place that day when Renee Good was shot? Because it seems like a lot. You know, we have this footage. We see what we saw unravel that day. And there's two different perspectives. We're watching the same video and they seem to think that it was unjustifiable, the shooting, while the rest of us are seeing a federal agent being hit by a car. We see the reports that he was dealing with internal bleeding after all of that. And we're hearing that he shot her 4 times. So what's their justification for being there? Because the video is telling.
Yeah, you know, this is a question of narratives, and this is why it's important to have people on the ground, people like yourself, your audience, paying attention to all the facts, because this is a question of narratives. You know, we're seeing the footage and having one opinion. They're seeing it and seeing a federal occupation of their city and an unjustified shooting of this person and a totally innocent. So they're viewing this in a totally different framing, totally different lens. Even yesterday, we had a chief of some variety from the Lakota Nation come and try to get some of their members out of the facility here. And everybody was totally in favor of saying, well, we're on stolen land, so it doesn't make any difference. And in that situation, that's kind of how it goes. So I think that's a question of narratives. It's a question of, you know, one side is just viewing things very, very differently. And they're very excited about it. I mean, it's not warm and they're still out here.
Yeah. No, they are still out there. And I saw there was a clip of Laura Ingraham being on the ground for a little bit. And one of the protesters admitted that they were being paid right now. Are these all paid protesters, or do you think this is an authentic, organic gathering of folks?
I can't speak to the paid part. I've never encountered anyone that has said that to me, but I will say these people are diehards. I mean, it's supposed to be below zero tomorrow, and everyone on the ground is saying, we're going to be here. You know, we love the cold. We're totally in favor. So I think you're seeing a lot of diehard militants out here that are in favor of whatever it is that they're believing. Some of them could be paid. I have seen people here that I saw in D.C. and in Miami for protests. So, I mean, suspect for sure, but they might say the same thing about me. So who knows?
They might. You know, the other day when someone did accuse me of being, now that I'm credentialed to cover the Pentagon, they did refer to me as a CIA asset. So I don't want to throw shade on anyone because these claims are very loose and people do throw them out there all the time. But again, it's just interesting to see how they're able to just appear so quickly at these protests, and all of a sudden it's the same characters all the time. You know, what we heard the president yesterday threaten the Insurrection Act to institutional, to, you know, obviously to enforce it, to institute it. What do you think that's going to do on the ground right now? Do you think that would actually help?
It's hard to say from a tactics perspective. I will say that every time DHS comes with some kind of force, that really riles everyone up. So if we saw a massive military presence, I think in the Twin Cities, you would see a pretty good uprising. And it's just a question of whether or not that's good or bad. But I do think that something needs to be done. I mean, you have just regular employees leaving this building and they are under constant harassment to and from. They have to leave and enter at very high speeds. They have their doors ripped open, as I mentioned, bottles thrown at them, their cars attacked. So something needs to be done in that context, no question. So what would that even look like to send in more officials and troops? I don't even know. I'm not sure we've really seen that, but it could be a very intense situation.
Yeah, well, we're going to have our eye on it. I know you have a crazy weekend planned probably ahead of all of this. So with Lyman, thank you for all the incredible work that you're doing on the ground.
Last thing, I will tell you this. There are a lot of militant people in town, and it's hard to get coffee without some kind of messaging on the cup. So, and I didn't get any ice in it. They didn't even put ice in it. So
they really meant what they meant when they said F ice, huh? Mm-hmm. Not fans. You should just ask for a cup of ice next time.
It was good coffee, though. I won't lie. So,
well, that's the one good thing that they're able to do, right? They're able to make our coffee. And listen, if there's not a purple-headed weirdo in the back of like a Starbucks making your coffee, it's probably not going to be that good. So it's the
then
one
I don't
good
want
thing.
It.
Yeah, I don't want it. It's their one contribution to this country, and we'll take it. We'll take it. Wood Lyman, you're doing an incredible job over in Minneapolis. Folks, if you're not following on X, I don't know what you're doing. Give him a follow. Wood_Lyman on X. And you are with Border Hawk. And we appreciate all of your coverage. Normally, folks, he is the White House senior correspondent. So he's a cushier gig than being in like negative 20 degree weather. But, you know, they're trying to make him a little bit stronger. So they sent him out into the field to do just that. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Wood.
Thanks for the time. God bless.
God bless you as well, my friend. All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on all things related to that. I wanted to shift your attention over to something that will give you a good chuckle. As many of you guys know, Ben Crum, total race baiting. My mom's listening, so I can't curse. Race baiter. We'll just go with that. Well, there's an interesting story that dropped. It has to do with a man who was shot by an off-duty ICE, I believe it was ICE, officer. The entire story itself sounds crazy until you read Ben Crum and what his spin on it. I mean, his spin is insane. But first, I want you to listen to how the mainstream media is covering it in clip 8, because it's very telling when you listen and how they're trying to get the community all riled up about this story. Take a listen.
Keith Porter's mother, overcome with grief at the candlelight vigil in Carson where she raised him. This is the second memorial in a week for the father of two shot and killed in Northridge by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve.
Took our loved one from us. You murdered our loved one, and it's not fair. It's not right.
According to the Department of Homeland Security, the off-duty ICE agent heard gunfire near his apartment and went to check it out. That's when DHS says the officer encountered Porter holding a long rifle. Advocates say Porter's gunfire that night was his way of observing the holiday.
Well, yes, it was illegal, but at the end of the day, it's American tradition.
I'm 80 years old. It's happened as long as I can remember. That's one of the things that happens. People shoot guns as part of fireworks and celebration of the new year.
But the agent allegedly ordered Porter to put down the weapon. And when he didn't comply, DHS says the off-duty officer fired his service gun. The agency claims Porter fired 3 rounds at the off-duty agent before he was killed.
This is a human rights issue.
The 43-year-old's death, touching complete strangers. Judy Vaughn from Mid-City drove 20 miles to Carson for his memorial instead of marching at an anti-ICE protest closer to home.
We all need to recognize the shared humanity and come together. And I just wanted to be here to be a part of this group saying his life is valuable, his life matters, and we need to speak out in as many ways as possible.
While LAPD investigates what led up to Porter's final moments, people here want the off-duty ICE officer identified, arrested, and charged.
Hurt, lost. It was my brother. He was my life. He was my kid's life. He was the life of our family.
Organizers say on Tuesday that they will attend LAPD's police commission meeting to petition the chief to make Keith Porter's death investigation transparent. Organizers also acknowledge the shooting death of Renee Good, who was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minnesota. In Carson, Tim Pulliam, ABC 7.
Okay, so did you see the spin there? Did you see the spin? Did you like that woman? She traveled to be there. Because why guilt? That's why she traveled. Isn't it crazy how liberals suddenly they support gun ownership? Oh, it's a tradition. You get drunk on New Year's, you go outside into your densely packed neighborhood apartment complex, and you shoot a couple up to the sky. What could go wrong? Oh yeah. An ICE agent, off-duty ICE agent, told him to drop his firearm and to stop doing that, and he decided not to. But he's innocent. He's innocent. And if you're Ben Crump, you know, you likely see money signs when you hear the story. When you do stupid things, you get a golden casket. And Ben Crump is your advocate. But Ben Crump coming out on X and saying that Kenneth Porter Jr. was a father of two. Son, a brother, whose life was stolen by an off-duty ICE agent. And his family is gathering now to grief. Well, you know, maybe his family should have gathered and told him that was a really dumb idea. Maybe you shouldn't own a fire. I don't even know if he legally owned. Maybe you just shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. Folks, this is all just another IQ test. When you do stupid things, things happen to you. When someone tells you to stop doing what you're doing and you decide not to, I'm going to keep shooting into the sky. I'm not going to drop my firearm. Well, guess what? Adios. I lack empathy, but we all know that Ben Crump is going to go after him and sue. No surprise there. No surprise there at all. All right, let's keep going at it. In clip six is a crazy liberal woman. And I'm only going to show you like 30 seconds of it because the rest of it's just unbearable. But these liberals are just out of their mind. I mean, I don't even know if they're really politically motivated. They're just mentally ill. And in clip six, you're going to see just that. Take a look.
I just feel like as white people, we got to step the fuck up. Yesterday, 10 years ago, 10 years before that, 10 years before that, 10 years before that. Just our fucking neighbors are at risk and we need to be in the streets every fucking day. If it's not you today, and you take a break, somebody else, you know, get them out there, take their place. We gotta do this in waves. We gotta protect ourselves. We gotta protect our neighbors. But it's time for white people to step the fuck up. They've been sleeping.
Yeah. White people, it's your job now to step up. Go take your kitchen pan, attach it to your chest, and go out there. Do something. Do something. I don't know. I thought that was AI at first, but I was told, no, it's not AI. It's a real person. And I'm hoping it's AI. I'm hoping it's not real. Folks, there's only so many lows this country could hit in having a woman who's coming out with like a broiler pan attached to her chest as if she's a patriot going to war with the federal government. Yeah. Yeah. If a civil war breaks out, you do not want that woman in the front of your line, or unless you want to sacrifice her. I don't know why the left does this, though. I don't know why the left does this. It's quite obvious this is a person who is not well. Not well at all. Send her out there with a broiler pan. What a fighter she is. What a fighter. Oh, man. It's just so crazy to me. It's just so crazy. But this is what's going on. These are their fighters. These are their patriots. These are their patriots. Out of shape. Out of shape. Crazy, unmental. I mean, unstable, I should say. mentally ill women. And then just beta five men, those two. But no surprise there, folks. All right, let's switch up gears too. Actually, you know what? Let's go to this. I'll let it play out for a little bit. Sean Hannity got into a little bit of a heated debate with Ron. I'm gonna mispronounce this one too. Khan, the Dem from California, who, you know, sometimes he does do some cool things. I like some of the things he does, but most of the time he is just aligning with the liberal hacks within his movement. And you know, Sean Hannity tried to give him the opportunity to speak, and I hate to play Sean Hannity clips. I'm not really a fan, but this is a pretty solid one in clip 7 when they go back and forth. We'll let it play out for a bit. Take a listen.
I would hope you'd agree. I hope the president, if he's watching,
I wish
would
it
agree.
Didn't happen.
Why don't we de-escalate? Why don't we lower the temperature in this country, lower the rhetoric, figure out how we enforce okay. immigration laws, but
oh,
not
you
have
want
ICE
to
agents,
get, so
but,
you're
but
like,
not
you're
have
like
ICE
the
agents
Mary.
Shooting Americans.
You want how about you let ICE do their job and you support law enforcement and enforcing the
if
laws
they do
of
it
this
constitutionally.
Land? Wait a minute. You are supposed, well, they're doing it constitutionally.
They're going in Americans'
the problem
homes.
Is
your party
is out there demonizing them, calling them Nazis, Gestapo, fascists, and terrorists.
I never used that word.
And that has created your party and you up to tonight. I've never seen you condemn the rhetoric of the leaders of your party, calling them Nazi, Gestapo, fascist.
Have
and
you
what that is
Sean
doing is inciting
about,
people.
What, have you
that
condemned
is inciting
the,
and dehumanizing con- these officials,
Sean,
and have, they're now being attacked tonight.
Have you condemned
they're
the
being
rhetoric
attacked.
Of? Have you condemned the rhetoric of Republicans who call immigrants rapists and murderers? I mean, come on. There's excessive rhetoric
well,
on both sides. My
I
view
just,
is let's tone it down.
Some of them are murderers and rapists, and you didn't get off your ass when it came to Lake and Riley and Jocelyn Nunn, Gary,
because
when you were in at a joint session speech. Why not?
Because I believe that the ones who are criminals should be deported, but not
that. You could have stood up for their families, and you should be able to put out the names of the people that were murdered. You should care about getting rid of pedophiles, murderers, rapists, traffickers,
I care
gang
most
members.
About the pedophiles, the Epstein
Last
files.
Night,
I've been calling
an officer was
of
assaulted. Last night, an officer was assaulted by three illegals from Venezuela. Do you even give a rip? Do you even care?
Of course I do. Of course that.
And you don't think it's connected to the rhetoric of your party leaders? You don't think any of that's connected?
Sean, what I want to do is say that as Americans, we need to come together. There's been heated rhetoric on both sides. Let's de-escalate it. Let's understand that most people who are law enforcement
How about
agents.
This? Let them do their job.
But do it constitutionally. Do you want them
they
going
doing
and harassing
it constitutionally.
You okay, let me ask you this, Sean. You don't think they have done any violation in terms of the way they're acting with American citizens? You really
I would argue in law
as you hear the music playing in the background, I can tell you as a producer that's normally like time to wrap, hurry up, we gotta go. This one dragged on for a little bit longer, but I think it's really interesting on how Democrats to deflect from the actual conversation, we'll pull the Epstein files and use that. It's not okay to do. They're doing it anyway. Why don't you take a look at this video over here that we recently got a hold of. This has to do with the Texas father who is now under arrest. The video is actually really sad because I guess the father thought he was protecting his daughter. But actually, he did the exact opposite. A Texas father allegedly gunned down an innocent Amazon manager who was spending Christmas away from his family after mistaking him for who he believed had kidnapped his daughter. Jonathan Matta is now in custody, according to them, because he's accused of being the man in this video who you see aiming his pistol at a fleeing SUV outside of a Shell gas station in Houston, Texas, and unloading. He killed a 25-year-old. And this happened around 1 a.m., on December 25th. The tragic chain of events began when Meta and his wife received a frantic call from their 19-year-old daughter who said she had been attacked by her boyfriend. And it appears that the father, who was obviously just trying to do his daughter, what was right by his daughter, ended up gunning down the wrong man. So since now, he has been arrested and he's been charged with the homicide. It's obviously a very sad, sad story. But again, something to just be mindful of, folks, because if you would have gotten the right one, then maybe you could entertain that argument. But unfortunately, he killed an innocent man, and that is unacceptable. I don't know if you saw this 2A victory. You know, the gun owner of America is doing incredible work. They actually have a recent victory in regards to being able to ship your firearms through the United States Postal Service. Now, the Postal Service has had these rules. I think it's over 30 years they've had this rule where you can't do that. Well, the DOJ now actually just put out a memo, and this is following the lawsuit that was put up by GOA, has now just filed this memo. And it's a letter to prosecutors letting them know that regulation from the United States Postal Service is unconstitutional in their eyes now. That's the DOJ saying it. And the DOJ is now telling them, you know, not to prosecute, obviously, but most importantly, they're going to actually tell the Postal Service that they actually should not be doing that with their regulations, that they deem it as unconstitutional. So that's incredible, given the fact that I think this has been a regulation for over 2 decades now. And thanks to this lawsuit that was brought forward by GOA, this has now this is the DOJ admitting that it's unconstitutional. And so hopefully that will change soon. But that is a big victory, a very big victory. All right, folks, buckle up. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program in just a moment. Steve Baker standing by. He'll be joining the show. New report just dropped moments ago over at The Blaze. He's going to join us to break it down. He'll also give us a little bit of a health update, as well as Mel Kay will be joining us in the third hour of the program. And, you know, I always look forward to talking to my girl Mel Kay, of course. She had a lot to sound off on, and we look forward to having her on in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We got that free hat that we're giving you for every purchase. No minimum required over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're looking to get a free hat, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And again, every purchase you make, you get, and this is, again, the last day for this one, 50 times the entry for every dollar you spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. You potentially could win that F-250 Ford Raptor and then a black Ford Raptor as well. $20,000 also in cash up for grabs over at thealexjonesstore.com. So when you support us, we support you. We try to put some cash in your hands. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the supplements we have up on the site. Some of the best supplements you're ever going to get over thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, you're supporting keeping this operation up and running. We appreciate you for doing just that. And if you haven't done so already, alexjonesapp.com is where you're going to want to go to download the app, alexjonesapp.com. All right, more to discuss in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Now you hobbits can feel the power of Methylene Blue. Let the evil power win. Order now on thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene Blue. Alex Jones Store.